Okay, so just a brief-ish discussion of Maaser Behema. The Gemara had interpreted the Mishnah statement that Elazar ben Azaria would allow his animal to go out on Yom Tov with the thing on its head, had questioned this and said, "What do you mean, his animal?" Implying he had one animal. He had so many animals. He had 13,000 animals, which were just Maaser. So, you know, at least 130,000 animals, which were born every year. And that was what led to the Gemara's discussion that maybe it doesn't mean his animal. It means that his neighbor's animal. And because he didn't protest, and fine. But sort of a parenthetical question that Tosas asks here is on this issue of the Maaser behemah at all. So, Where'd it go? Okay, there we go. Okay. So Tosfos says as follows. He says, "Klezer alfe igle haya mais haya maiser Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria v'chulei v'tema." So it's very nice to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria gave 13,000 animals a year in maiser behema, but he lived after the Churban Habayit, and why was he giving maiser behema at all? And how does he know? He said, "Well, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria end up being heads, right, of the Sanhedrin, right, after Rabban Gamliel is deposed and Elazar ben Azaria is hired when he's 18, and then they end up, you know, alternating 3 weeks, 1 week. Now Rabban Gamliel, so he says Rabban Gamliel was before him, therefore he was his predecessor and then his contemporary, well, not contemporary, but his, you know, they work together. And Rabban Gamliel lived after the Churban. And he said, "How do I know? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came before Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived through Churban Habayit, right? Because he was making takanot after Churban Habayit. Rabban Gamliel was after him. And Elazar ben Azaria was after him. So Elazar ben Azaria has to be decently after Churban Habayit. So when exactly is he giving these animals?" And he didn't even become Nazi till he was 18. So if this is two generations or whatever, you know, two powers that be, right, two administrations, long administrations, which both were after Churban Habayit, until he becomes the head and he's only 18 years old, that means he was not born, presumably, until after Churban Habayit. The Nisiyasu Lachor Churban. What?
It's not one of his takanas, though.
Whose takanas?
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
No, this is just a timeline thing. It's just that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is making takanot about the Churban, which tells you that he lives after the Churban.
Yeah,
and then Rabbi Gamliel succeeds him, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria succeeds, sort of, him, which means that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria must be living far after the Churban. It's just a timeline question. Is how is Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria giving Maaser? Maaser Behema.
I understand that, but yeah. It wouldn't be a takana from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to say he still continues to give.
No, there is no, that's not one of the takana, right? There is no such.
Well, he gave a takana on a lot of other things.
Correct, but we have no evidence of this takana, right? This doesn't appear.
Zero.
No.
Which is a questionable
right?
thing on
and he said, in fact, we have the opposite. We have the opposite proof. He says explicitly, "V'amrin b'b'choros, l'achor korban is ba'at l'kol ma'as." In fact, it's an explicit Gemara in b'choros, non gimel, that after the korban we got rid of ma'aser behema, right? So Tozer just has a very simple timeline question, is how is he giving ma'aser behema? He was not alive when the mitzvah was relevant.
Right.
So he gives a few answers. The first answer is what is sort of what Alan said. It is, "V'yesh l'omer d'lon is ba'at l'altor kim l'achor's man." One is to say that, I don't know if this is a formal gzera or whatever it is, but Maaser Behema did sort of just continue. And the reason we stopped doing it was because we were worried if you did Maaser Behema, you'd have this, you know, you'd have this Kodesh lying around, so we didn't want you to do it. So, but maybe that didn't happen right away, right? Maybe the only reason we told you stop being Mafresh Maaser Behema, because then you'll have Kodesh lying around, maybe that happened, you know, a few generations after the Churban, or maybe when Elazar was alive, they were still giving it. That's one.
Where were they giving it?
So Maaser Behema, simplest understanding, is you take it to Yerushalayim. You eat it. They clearly weren't bringing it when the Beis Hamikdash is done, you know. But they were. No, it's like it's pashas like Meister Sheni, where you bring it to Yerushalayim and you eat it there. But
mafresh, but not eating yet.
Where they were mafresh, not eating, and then the Gemara says they made a takana because since if you have it around and it's kodesh. And you can't do anything with it, so that's, you know, asi lidei takala. So the Gemara says we got rid of it. We stopped doing it post korban. So he said possibility one is maybe that was later on, you know, like people were doing it and then they realized that was a bad idea, so they stopped doing it. That's one possibility. Inami apotropos shalosim nazari shahayi b'mei abayis hayamaser. He said, or maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really was born during the very, very end of korban abayit. And when it says that he was Mafresh Meister Meim, it doesn't mean he was. It means that his guardian was, right? So maybe, I don't know, you know, Reuchem Nezakai was, let's say, the year after. Then Reuchem Liel was, I don't know, for 15 years. And then Elazar ben Azariah comes in. And maybe when he was 1 year old, you know, his father had been rich. And his father had an estate. And when it says that Elazar ben Azariah gave Meister, it doesn't mean him. It just means, like, he had an estate. And when he was very, very young, the Beis HaMikdash still existed. And just know that he was a rich heir. And therefore, presumably, had a lot of animals even later in life. Right? Yeah, exactly. Right? Inami, your third possibility, lav dafka meiser, or the easiest answer would just be to say, I think the easiest, just in a practical sense, I don't know if it reads well, but it's the easiest conceptually, is just to say, it doesn't mean meiser, so you know, in the melech, chonas yiras, right, he would give, you know, he would tithe, right, he would give meiser like we do, right, it's not formally, halachically meiser, it means that he used to give 10% of his money every year, or whatever, to taxes, to tzedakah, whatever he gave.
Why
that's what he's saying, maybe it means it was a tenth tax, maybe it's a tenth tzedakah, it could be whatever, the point is, maybe the word meiser doesn't mean meiser behemoth, it means he gave a tenth to tzedakah, he gave a tenth, I mean, you could say tzedakah, you could say that he gave a tenth to the king, a tenth. His point is, maybe the word meiser is just indicating that 10% of his property was 13,000, and he had 130,000 animals every year. How much, what was it formally? That's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is to show he was rich. So that's...
it was an income tax.
Yeah, whatever, it's a tax, you know, you could just as easily say it was a tzedakah. But right, this is a very technical point. Okay, this is just like solving a technical problem here. Meiri, I gave it to you here in 12, solves it another technical way, right? So first he suggests like Tosos, he says, Shem v'sofa chorbanai yisharim yamliel, k'shuhuvar b'shvilo yonosin tam, ba'vurshana de'imra de'idkin, gozlai rechichen v'herusha shol kamon sepesach v'kini yilados. He said, maybe it's the end of the bayit, because Ring of Liel, even though we know he also lives after the bayit, he does issue certain psakim about karbanot. So maybe Ring of Liel himself was also at the end. So maybe Lord of Menazari was also at the end of the tkufa. The Afal Bish Amru Hill Vishimon Gamliel Vishimon Nagun Siyasim Bnei Abayis Me'ashana Ring of Liel Zabachareim. Right, and even though it says that Shimon ben Gamliel, they were, you know, he and Rabbi Gamliel, they were 100 years. So Shimon Gamliel, now going to tell them b'fnei abayis for 100 years, and then Rabbi Gamliel is after them. He says Shema miyud zman hay b'fnei abayis lo chashulam nosom osam arba. Right, maybe it was just a few years. Elam osu shishamar achar churban sherov niyaso hay b'osu zman. Right, so the fourth technical possibility is maybe we got the timeline off a little bit, and he was a little bit during churban bayit. Okay, that's a technical issue. Just to put out some fundamentals on Meister Behema, just quickly, is like I said, the simplest understanding of Meister Behema is that it's sort of Meister Sheni, like you separate the 10% of the newborn animals and you take it to Yerushalayim. Because of that, this again, the majority view in Rishonim is that Kohanim don't have any special exemption from Meiser Behema because it's not a tithe or it's not a gift to the Kohanim. It's not a gift to the Kohanim. They're not exempt from it. That's the position of the Rambam. In number 13, he says, Ashelach of Ches. Right, this is when you can see there were different counts, right? It's Simon Kuf Mem Vav in the Bloy, and it was Chav Ches and whatever. Shalach HaChayavim HaKohanim B'Meiser Behema B'Nei Behema Shalahem, or Kohanim obligated Meiser Behema K'moshim Chayavim B'Chalos V'Shom Chayotim M'Shom Shom Meiser Behema L'Bailim, because Meiser Behema, unlike the others, is not Matnas Kuhuna, it goes to the owners. V'Meim Chayavim Hechan Eskir Chom Zal Chiyuvim Bo V'Meinim Chayavim Hechan Eskir Shem Pturim. And he said, you know, I don't have evidence one way or the other. If they're obligated, why doesn't the Gemara say so? If they're not obligated, why doesn't the Gemara say so? So the Rambam says, the Chuvain Lashon, Chayav Kohen, Shainu Chayav, Labadavar, Kmo Chumo, Chumas Meister. He said, what are you talking about? Of course they're obligated. Kohen are only exempt from things which are Matnos Kahuna, Sheyochal, Alos, Bidatainu, Shiroza, Kohen, Lokechosan, Eno Chayav Lefresh. And right there, you would have a Ham and Mina, right? You would think that they wouldn't be Chayav because they're Matnos Kahuna, Kmo Shainu, Mafresh, Matnos Kahuna, Vemtel, Ifthinim. But no, it's not true. Truman, Chumas Meister, you have to be Mafresh, you have to keep it. Certain Matnos Kahuna, they don't even be Mafresh. But if something goes to the owners, why would the Gemara even have to tell you that Kohanim are liable? Anything that goes to owners, which is not a matnas kahuna at all, so big deal. You don't have to tell me that Kohanim are chayav. Of course they are. Kamosha chayav. Kohanim lahafresh netaravai. Meister sheni is no different than Meister sheni. Kachi afresh meister behema. V'chol eileheim shel bailim. However, if you look at 15, the Ritva has a unique position, and he paskins that even though the simplest understanding in all of Shas is that Meiser Behema is like Meiser Sheni, that you separate it for yourself and you bring it to Yerushalayim, he thought it actually was one of the Manos Kahuna. He said, Vilini era de Meiser Mamish, Vilo Shahaya Kore Alem Shem, Meiser, La Shayanosin Aroy, La Meiser, Likonim, so here can be Shari Ezla Manos Kahuna. Right in the middle of it, this discussion of this Gemara and Shabbos, he says explicitly he gave it to the Kohanim. And the Marad El Ghazi in 16 says, I don't know what you're talking about. Gamad Haridva Elu Yeshlai in the Mahgezel Shevet Yesh Maiz Behema Kvar Kisan Maiz Behema in the Kohen Klum Vitzarachin. He said, I don't know what the Ritva is talking about. Right? This is just a very strange position. Simplest understanding is Maiz Behema goes to real Maiz Behema goes to the Kohanim. Again, in our Gemara may not be talking about real Maiz Behema, but real Maiz Behema would go to the Kohanim. In 17,
suggesting that that continued after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash.
No, he's not weighing in on that in general. He's just saying Bechlal, right?
He must.
What?
But he must be saying that indirectly. Otherwise, how would you still?
This is not an arsugya. It's not an arsugya. This is in Gemara and Shabbos.
Because there actually is a shita, though. I mean, Meiri mentions himself. There were some people.
Well, the Tosos
who did that.
Well, Tosos mentions that it might have happened, continue not in the Middle Ages against the Gemara. I mean, maybe people did against the Gemara.
Middle Ages. He said, actually, he mentions that in his time.
You give Meiser Behema?
No, just Shok.
That's a different story. Manus Kahuna and what we do with Manus Kahuna is a very, very difficult situation. Yeah. It's not totally clear. I have a share of that online. That was one of the. That was when I realized how many of my Shira Melech Tanim listens to. Because, like, I was like, why did he listen to the Shira I gave in Chulin on Matnos Kahuna? But he did, and when someone published an article in Chakira and didn't mention one of the Achronim that I said in that one, he emailed me, they missed it in this article. I'm like he, Melech. In the, it's amazing. It's mind-boggling. It really is. And he'll listen to this, and he'll hear how impressed we are with how much he listens. The Rechem Fishal Perla in 17, speaking of very impressive people who are not in Chinuch, Rechem Fishal Perla, who as Reshechter loves noting, knows more Torah than like anybody else. You look at the insane volume of what he wrote and the Bekiyos, but the guy was like a businessman by profession. He did this on the side for fun. He wrote this monstrosity of a 3-volume work on the Sefer Mitzvot of Rasagigon, which doesn't exist.
He was just a businessman?
Yep.
Really?
I mean, he's definitely Rev Perla, but he was not a professional rabbi. He was. It's like Kahati, Kahati was a banker. These were religious people who knew a lot of Torah.
Or Nachshoni.
Yeah, a lot of these people,
that generation, yeah.
Yeah, just some of these people who are just phenomenally impressive. So he notes that Rabbi Nochananel indeed thinks that Kohanim are exempt from Meiser Behema. V'chem das rachzal, Kohanim p'turim Meiser Behema, Kotzarach lomer, Disfile, Duhum manus Kuna. Says what you seem to see from here is that he thinks, like the Ritva, that it is a Meiser Behema. Now, truth is, I sort of lied here. The Ritva isn't talking on our sugya, but he is. He's talking on the parallel sugya in Shabbos. But the Ritva at least doesn't weigh in on whether this is at least in this line on the Beis Hamikdash question or not. And he quotes the Rashba and he quotes the Ritva. But he notes, what's the raya? What's the raya that Kohanim are chuyav? He says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, right? So that would be a decent raya from this, which should disprove it. So our sugya, first of all, raises some historical questions, but also seems to weigh in pretty conclusively on this issue. Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. Of course, ironically, this is where the historical question becomes important, because according to Tosfos, that because it's post Beis Hamikdash, it might not mean Meiser. So then you don't have a raya of a Kohen right. giving Meiser Behema, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's before the Bayit and it's real Meiser Behema, then you do have a raya. So the historical question becomes important only to prove the question of whether Kohanim are chayiv and Meiser Behema. So it is important, but those things work together. The Chacham Tzvi, I skipped this, but in 14, is very bothered by this sugya for another reason, which is Tosfos had assumed that maybe what's going on here is that it's talking about Elazar ben Azariah as a little kid, and his apotropos, right, which would assume he was a yosom, was too, right, that he was orphaned, his guardian gave Meiser Behema on his behalf, and maybe that's how it happened. The problem is that the general rule by Trumos and Maestros and the like is that an apotropos is allowed to give from those things which, if you don't give, would be tevel and therefore would be forbidden to you. But things that aren't tevel, they can't give because the katan isn't chayev in the mitzvah, and you have no right to be right to give on his behalf if it's not preventing him from eating. So he said, I don't understand. Maiser doesn't create tevel. If you're not mafresh, it doesn't create tevel. That's why we can be mavatalit. If it, right, we would have trouble being mavatalit if it created tevel. So he said, I don't understand. How could the abadros be mafresh at all? So that's his question. If you just look after the ellipsis in 14, he says, Odai efshali lomar didavka meiser dogen shina meiser nifsud b'mechirash alokech sarach l'asar hasem udin abadros v'shay l'asar. But meiser behema, meiser mafsud b'mechirash alokech patr l'chein abadros v'shay l'asar ad shalo yimkor. So he says, well, on the one hand, it's true that it doesn't create tevel, but on the other hand, what does the guy lose out if you are mafresh? Right? Why is it that we normally don't want to be mafresh? Because he loses out. But Meiser Behema remains to you, right? So you can bring it to Yerushalayim. You can sell it for a pretty high price as things go because anyone's allowed to eat it. They just have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So maybe on the counter pressure is that we will be mafresh if it's not such a loss. But that's, again, another small point that comes out of this this sugya. The last just point, again, I was just putting some sort of fundamentals in here, is that do we want to do this? Nah, whatever. I'll leave the Kovach here. Just gets into a question of whether it has the status of a Davar Hanadur or not, because on the one, he proves that it is, right? Because even though it's true that it has to be Kadosh, you are Mafresh it, and that gives it its Kedusha, so it's a Maisa Hanadur, and therefore you can have Hadpasa, which is, just, he says it here, so I put it. That doesn't have to do sort of directly with the Sugya. Okay, that was just some Ha'aros about Maiser Behema. Okay, now we can move on to